afternoon, looking back through the files of the Bunyip down in the basement of the Gawler Civic Centre, also known as the Institute. We're in the Cultural Heritage Research Centre. My name is Kay. I'm one of your readers along with Jeanette. Hello, Jeanette.
Hi, Kay.
And in the background, we have Jill and Les, but we know that they'll be quiet as mice.
Yes.
But you might hear some keyboard strikes in the meantime. So it's always lovely to be here and
it is.
Talking to you through the beauty of modern technology, which failed Optus and AMA SIM customers yesterday, but it's all back and running. It was a fascinating thing, technology. Mm. Wonderful when it works, and it's absolutely devastating
when it doesn't.
When it doesn't. Anyway, I digress. Looking back through the files of the Bunyip 150 years ago.
When they didn't have those technology issues.
No,
they didn't have any communication at all.
Well, we were lucky, though, to have the print media.
Yes, we were.
Which was better than word of mouth and Chinese whispers.
Yes.
Prince of Wales's birthday. And this apparently is Bertie.
Yes, that's Bertie.
He married Alexandra
of Denmark. Danish princess.
Ah, they were all married, didn't they? Intermarried.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Well, her brother is the ancestor of Prince Philip.
That's right. Now, we saw her portrait when we were in Denmark.
Mm.
We went to this incredible castle, and they had portraits there of the current royal family in Denmark. Mm.
They weren't a wealthy royal family at all. She and her sister made their own dresses. So her marrying into the British royal family was a huge step up in terms of wealth and protocol, and she had a tough time of it with Victoria and with Bertie. He wasn't an ideal husband by any means.
So anyway,
I think I'm a royalist, wouldn't you? But I'm not. But I do enjoy some of those old BBC costume dramas.
It is.
Yeah.
150 years ago, Prince of Wales's birthday. And this is Bertie. Yep. The birthday of His Royal Highness occurring on the 9th November 1841, he will on Sunday enter his 33rd year. The anniversary will therefore be celebrated on Monday the 10th, when the shops and other business establishments will be closed for the day. So they even closed it
For the prince there in ratings birthday. And he had another 30-year wait.
Oh, wow. That's right.
He did have another 60 years. He was heir apparent.
Well, a bit like Charles, I suppose, if you think about it.
Very much.
The Queen hung on a long time.
Mm-hmm. She didn't want Bertie to ever be king, according to let rumour.
She was always worried about him, wasn't she?
Yes. From what I've heard, she blamed him very much for Albert's death because of the row he caused his father. And she never really forgave him or let go of that. So I don't know.
That's not the right same Bertie, though.
Yes.
This one was born in 1841. He couldn't have lived that long.
Yeah, he did. He was in his 70s when he died. He died in 1911. He was old when he came onto the throne. He was heir apparent for 60 years.
Yeah, but that was the Queen's father was Bertie as
Albert.
Well.
No, the Queen's husband was Albert.
This is Queen Victoria.
Yes.
Yeah, but Queen Elizabeth II's father was also called Bertie.
Albert. Yes, he was Bertie too.
And that was where I'm getting confused.
Right, two Berties.
Yes. And then there was Prince Albert. Oh, yes. Let's just move
Albert,
on.
But they wouldn't let them be King Albert.
No, because they were consorts.
Yeah. So he was Albert Edward, not Edward. Albert was his first name, but when he became king, he was King Edward. Same as the Queen's father, he was King George, but his name was Albert.
Yeah.
So they didn't like to use
the name. We see King Edward, that Queen Elizabeth's uncle, King Edward, he was David.
Yes.
His first name was David, but then he
couldn't
went
have
to
a King
Edward.
David. Yes.
I mean, thank heavens, at least Charles stayed with Charles.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's just dodgy heading.
I don't know why they couldn't, use their own names once they became
King. David's probably sounds a little bit too
biblical.
Biblical, I think. Anyway,
okay.
What an interesting column today. We haven't even got to 100 years ago.
Well, it's not so interesting, this one. Baptist Church Fair. The annual spring fair in connection with the Baptist Church Gawler was held in the lecture hall on Wednesday, October the 1st. The fair was opened by the Reverend N.R. Hill, who was presented with a buttonhole bouquet by Miss Melva Henwood. The hall was a pleasing sight, with a good attendance of buyers and the prettily decorated stalls. I thought they were going to say the prettily decorated women then.
I was wondering No, they didn't.
October the 1st, so that's
a bit late for looking back.
November the 8th, yes.
Yeah.
It took a month for that. So obviously the Bunyip, you know, put it in when they had room.
Well, sometimes they used, well, yeah. they used to do that. So.
Yes.
Yes, that wasn't quite as interesting, was it, as Bertie?
No, Bertie was more entertaining. Bertie was indeed entertaining, whatever you think of him.
Whichever Bertie we're talking about.
Whichever Bertie there was, yes.
Okay, yeah. 50 years ago, supermarket opens soon. Gawler's new Foodland supermarket on the former Goodyear Tyre Service site in Murray Street will open shortly. The modern, extensively stocked store will be conducted as an independent business by the husband and wife team of Michael and Cindy Johnson. Mr. Johnson said he had already appointed a staff of 14 residents and the store would feature 5 checkouts. That's up where the Commonwealth Bank is.
Right.
Yes.
I actually have been there, and I think he actually offered me a job.
Right.
A long time ago, but I couldn't have stood it because of a lot of engine noise in the office upstairs. But it was quite fascinating, but then they moved down to Todd Street and the Commonwealth Bank moved in here. But, yeah, Mike was a great friend of Mark's. He had an old London cab. And when we got married, he picked us up at the farm at Two Wheels and drove us into the Hilton Hotel for our wedding night at the Hilton Hotel. And then he picked us up the following morning and took us home in the old cab. And Cindy, his first wife, she was just beautiful. I mean, his second wife, Patsy, is just a lovely person as well. Anyway.
So that would have been Gawler's first supermarket, probably?
Probably.
Yeah, 50 years ago, it was when supermarkets were very new.
Well, I don't know. I think Coles moving in by then? When did the old sale yards go?
I don't know. The horse sales
would have finished. I remember going to horse sales up at Coles here, and it was a terrible little sale ring, wasn't it? Yeah, about a quarter the size of this room, the ring itself. It was awful. You can still see the dust and the stink and the closed-in atmosphere of it.
It's all part of the history of the town.
The dust, the smell of the manure mixed with dust. Yeah.
That would have been such an iconic smell of the town.
It is a real sale yard smell.
The whole town, all the roads would have been like that, dusty with manure on them.
But I can just remember the atmosphere. Because my first pony came through the Gawler sale yard, that's why I went. But I wasn't with Mum, I was at school that day, and she bought a mare, a thoroughbred mare with a colt foal at foot, and this grey pony. I had that pony until I was 8, and I had it until I was 23.
25 years ago, skateboard plan. The possibility of constructing a skateboard park in Gawler will be discussed at a council committee meeting next Tuesday night. The Infrastructure and Environment Services Committee has received a petition from 620 people requesting that council construct a skateboard park for the use of the general community. And they did, but they weren't happy with it because when I was running for council about 10, 11 years ago, there was a lot of action to get a better or upgrade to the skateboard park. But I think, it was down near the showgrounds, the original one. So there was one. It was by the showground.
And then they moved it out to Clonley.
Where it is now. Yeah. In a much nicer location.
Yeah.
I think there was just not a good location.
We have, in our area, great contention over a skate park. And the kids want a skateboard, park. Yeah, we had a pump track that doesn't get a lot of use. But I would love to see a really... I would think if you're going to invest in a skate park... You invest in one that's going to attract people and you make it really good that you can actually have competitions because skateboarding is now an Olympic sport.
Yes, it is.
We pour all this money into Aussie rules and cricket, but they're not Olympic sports, but skateboarding is. And, you know, that's where young people want to play. They don't want to play team sports all the time.
No, they don't. It's good to encourage just outdoor activity.
Yeah.
Just, you know, a kid can go anytime they like and skate and get a bit of exercise and fresh air and fitness.
Yep. But sometimes you get this mindset that if you want to do things other than your traditional team sports, then somehow you're not quite...
Respectable.
Yeah. And it's just different people have different...
Exactly.
Interests.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. My sons have got hugely into bouldering.
What, bouldering?
Bouldering, it's called.
Okay.
So climbing... They go to climbing locations, climbing.
Yeah, I can climb across boulders, but not up.
Yeah, no, I'm cheap. This is up these holes on walls. It's terrifying. I don't want to watch them do it.
I tried once and I got about as high as my leg would reach.
It can be dangerous because
when I was a kid, we'd go out to camping at Port Lincoln at Farm Beach and I'd go from rock to rock. So I got very good at climbing across rocks and jumping. clambering over
they
rocks.
They still love doing that when they were kids.
God, loved it. Bit harder now. 10 years ago, Equine Centre opens. South Australia's first equine teaching hospital has opened at the University of Adelaide's Roseworthy campus. The local horse community, state politicians and university staff and students attended an official function at the campus to mark the launch of the $10 million facility. We're still having trouble getting vets. We're
There is a shortage of equine vets.
Absolutely.
In Australia,
it's terrible. Just can't get them. So that's it for this week.
Yes.
And what an interesting column this week.
It's been very varied, hasn't it?
There's variety in it.
Yes, yes. It's a really interesting mix of stories.
But it's also a great reflection on Gawler that all this interesting stuff happens.
Yes, it is. Yeah. And how much we are connected to the region as well.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's a really interesting region that we're in, and us as a Gawler as a regional town, really reflected in this column.
Yeah. Yeah.
So. And part of the world. You've got the world international.
What do they say about towns? I think it was Whitelock that actually said to Mark one day that every country town is just a microcosm of the world. To greater and lesser degrees. I mean, I don't know that it's a microcosm of the slums of Mumbai, but, you know, what's happening in the Middle East. But, you know,
I'm not sure we want to be a microcosm of the world.
I don't think anyone would want to be a microcosm of the state of the Middle East at the moment.
No,
so.
Certainly not. Okay, until next week, Kate.
Until next week, Jeanette. And thank you for our background listeners.
Yes.
You can talk.
All hard at work around us, beavering away at the keyboards and books.
It's fun to concentrate here. For all life's signs.